Yeah. That'll build your faith, right? To declare that, to sing that over and over. All things are possible with our God. We're so grateful you have chosen to worship with us today. Welcome to Prestonwood. Why don't you take a minute, find somebody around you you haven't met yet, introduce yourself, and welcome them. We're really glad you're here.
Every year, many people come to know Jesus because of your commitment to summertime giving, which helps us fund events and the day-to-day ministry of the church. The summer got off to an incredible start with our annual Adventure Week, which drew more than 4,200 children across both campuses. The children exhibited a heart for missions, raising nearly $20,000. Nearly 1,850 students participated in kids' summer camps for students in first through sixth grade and beach camps for junior high and high school. Between Adventure Week, kids' summer camps, and beach camp, we witnessed 472 make a profession of faith. And through our Prestonwood Sports Organization summer camps and clinics, we were blessed to see 67 decisions for Christ. Our young adults experienced an amazing summer with more and more coming from throughout the region on Thursday nights for the gathering at the Plano campus. We were pleased to welcome nearly 200 new guests, and we celebrated 20 baptisms. Locally, our church members served with various community nonprofit organizations from South Dallas to Salina. We also served more than 1,000 children across North Texas by providing much-needed school packs filled with supplies. And in a region where so many are in need, we provided more than 75,000 meals. Nationally and internationally, 8 short-term mission teams served in several parts of the country, as well as in 7 countries on 4 continents. Among the international trips was the annual student worship mission trip, with 170 students and 113 adults ministering in the United Kingdom through servant evangelism and concerts. One of our most dynamic ministries, Prestonwood en Español, continues making huge strides in Spanish-speaking communities throughout North Texas. The 3 campuses remain committed to deepening their outreach to the many who do not yet know Jesus. A Prestonwood en Español team also ministered to the lost and hurting people of Cuba. Finally, we experienced a milestone moment as we celebrated the opening of our newly renovated worship center at the North Campus with record-breaking attendance. Our Proclaim initiative allowed us to make the much-needed renovations and provide new spaces for our kids' ministry. We also praise God for the many decisions for Christ throughout the summer. We have seen 496 baptisms across both campuses and Prestonwood en Español. Last weekend alone, we witnessed as 191 children, students, and adults made their profession of faith public during our spontaneous baptism. And we praise God for the 1,100 people baptized in the last 12 months. Thanks again for your faithfulness to summertime giving. Your generosity has helped us launch successfully into another fall season.
How incredible is that? To see what God is doing among us. And you know, all of those numbers, there's lots of numbers in that video, right? But they represent lives and stories changed forever. Wow. And the scriptures tell us that when one person repents and turns to faith in Jesus, what happens? Heaven throws a party. So one more time, for all those numbers and all those changed lives, let's celebrate and thank God for what he's doing among us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power and your presence and your work among us. It's so good to be in the house of God this weekend. And as you heard, calling us to worship today and all things are possible, Miss Taranda Green is in the house today, one of our great friends leading us in worship today. If you're our guest, we especially want to welcome you. We're so thankful you've chosen to worship with us today, and we want you to know that we want to come alongside you and your family any way that we possibly can. Be sure and let us know that you're here by texting the word CONNECT to to 74788. Connect to 74788. If you're in the room, those of us that are joining us online, we also want to welcome you. Everybody here in Plano, we celebrate you joining us all over the world every single week. We're so grateful that you're with us today. But let us know you're here, guests, and go to the atrium afterwards. We have a gift we want to give you, one of Dr. Graham's books, and we've got ministers there to answer any questions you might have about the life of Prestonwood. You saw it all in that video. There's a lot going on, lots of places for you to connect in and get involved, and we want to come alongside you and your family in any way that we can. Why don't you stand together, and we're just going to continue to sing to the Lord, to declare His goodness, thank Him for His great love for us, invite His presence to work among us. Father, we are humbled to be in Your presence today. We take a deep breath right now just to say thank You. Thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Lord, we bow before You. We lift our voices to You. We need to meet with You today. We need Your Spirit. Would You come and change us by Your presence? Transform us by Your life-giving word. How great You are, Lord. How truly great You are. We sing to You in Your name, Jesus. And everybody said, from the darkness, I called Your name. Into darkness Your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is Your love. You bore my weakness, You took my shame. Bury my burden. Me out, lifted me up. How great is Your love.
On every voice.
From the heights of heaven, You stepped down to earth. Innocent perfection, gave Your life for us, and we are.
Yeah.
thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. For everything that you have done, God, you are so worthy. And today we just want to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise belongs to you, God. We love you, Jesus.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way that I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship, 'cause you still deserve it.
You're worthy of my song.
have to know that you can lay it at the feet of Jesus and he will take care of it for you. Father, you're so worthy. I worship you today, Jesus. Can we sing this? You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory, Jesus. You are worthy.
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Good morning. It is wonderful to see you, to worship with you this morning. What a wonderful Savior. What a great God. And I'm looking forward to opening God's Word with you in just a moment. This is our Distinctives for Disciples series. We're going to be talking about basic Christian faith and Christian living over the next several weeks. We've had so many new members and so many new Christians. Just so you'll know, that baptismal last weekend, 191, set an all-time record for one Sunday at Prestonwood. So we're grateful. More this morning in the first service. And speaking of record numbers, our choir is breaking number records as well. It's great to see our choir back after a summer break and our wonderful music. Taranda, great to always have Taranda Green with us. Next week, I see we're going to have Mac Davis. That was a Lubbock singer. Mac Powell is going to be with us, formerly of Third Day and now solo career. I love Mac. He's an Alabama boy, and he will be with us next week, and we're going to have great worship and music. Thank you for your giving all summer long. We're tapping the door right now to finish it. This is the Sunday before Labor Day. I don't like to say Labor Day weekend because Sunday's not the weekend. It's the first day of the week, and we put Jesus first in our lives because he is first in all things. But on this weekend and this Sunday before Labor Day, we officially finished our summertime giving, and we're right there knocking on the door to complete our goals. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your giving. Once again, to all of you online, we welcome you. We are really glad that you have joined us. Now, the title of this message is Saved, Certain, and Secure. It's essential that you live with confidence and certainty in your Christian life, the blessed assurance of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're on your way to heaven, that you have eternal life, and that you can never lose it, that we are saved and secure. And because of what Christ has done for us, we live with this utter confidence, this deep assurance that we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. Amen. That Jesus is Lord, and because Christ is Lord of our lives, that we are with him now and forever. So, safe, certain, and secure. Can you be sure? Now, someone might think, well, it is presumptuous and maybe even prideful to be so confident. Well, our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in what we have done, but in what Christ has done for us. And so we're not looking to ourselves for our salvation, but we're looking to Jesus, who is our Savior. And there are assurances throughout the Word of God that gives us this confidence for living. It was a great Friday night at Prestonwood Christian Academy. It wasn't looking good in the middle of the fourth quarter. We were playing the Second Baptist Church of Houston team, where my good friend Edwin Young is the pastor. Someone said, well, did you all have a wager on the game? Well, you know Baptists don't bet, right? But we did have a little pride riding on it. Dr. Young is pastor of the Second Baptist Church of Houston, and so our team played. We beat them last year, so anyway. But we weren't very nice to them when they came here, but it didn't look that good. We were down middle of the fourth quarter, I know it was 17-7, and we were kind of churning along, but our team was confident, and you could see the confidence. I saw the confidence of Coach Yantis and the coaching staff as they just kept running the play, staying confident, not getting in a panic mode. So we score, and then with 5 seconds left, we score again to win the game right at the finish, and it was a big victory. But what I saw, and the reason I tell you that, other than the fact that I'm bragging on our team, the reason I tell you that story is because, you know, winning in life comes with confidence and certainty, not in ourselves, but in what God has said, that we look to him for our strength. And Corrie Ten Boom used to say, there's no panic in heaven, only plans. And when we live in an uncertain world, don't we, where there's so many questions and things that we cannot answer, and all the turbulence in this woke and wicked world and culture in which we are living. And so we have a lot of questions about what's coming up, and questions about our own future, and maybe on a personal level, There are just certain things you don't know, and you're not even certain that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven. And maybe some, you know, have false assurance or trusting in their religion or trusting in their religious experience even, or something that happened way back that they barely remember, but they're not living in this confidence and this certainty that I'm talking about to be saved, certain, and secure. But God wants you to know. How can we be sure? That's what this message is about. So 1 John 5:13 puts it this way. These things are written to those of you who have eternal life, that you may have confidence, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Then down in verse 19 of 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, we know that we are of God. The whole world is in the hands of Satan, but we know that we are the children of God. These things are written to those of you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So how do we know? Here's how we know. Here's what we know. Take your Bible and just hold it up right now. Just hold it up high over your head, just as a sign that you're under the authority of the Word of God. This is God's inerrant, infallible Word. It's the only perfect thing on this earth. It's the perfect Word of God, written by imperfect men, but inspired by the perfect Holy Spirit, which gives us this perfect Word of God. So these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Our confidence, our assurance is not in what we feel. Our confidence is in the one in whom we believe, the one that we trust. Here's what we know. We know the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us who Jesus is and what He's done in our lives. So I'm going to give you five things that we know and ways, therefore, that we can be sure. You can be as certain for heaven as if you were already there. Number one, God wants us to know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. To know it. Not that we acknowledge who God is or even that we believe in Jesus at a certain level, but that we really know Jesus. Paul expressed this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He said, I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Against what day? The day that Christ comes again. He said, I know whom I have believed. He said, I know Jesus. He's not someone I know about. He is real to me. And my testimony to you today and the testimony of thousands like me is to say that Jesus is Lord, and that because Christ is Savior and Lord, He is Master and Friend. That Jesus is alive in me. Amen. He's not someone I just know about. He's someone I know and love. God wants you to know that you have not this experience of yesteryear, but a living, confident faith in Christ today. Here's what we know. We know that we love Him because He first loved us. That this is a love relationship. And though we have not seen Him, Peter says, we love Him. We love Jesus because we know Him. So this is written to us, God's Word is given to us, that we may believe what is written and receive the Savior, the Son of God. Have you welcomed Him into your life? Do you know Him? Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, Revelation 3:20. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Has there been a decisive moment in your life when you have invited, welcomed Christ into your life? Do you know that Jesus is living in you? Do you know Him as your Lord and personal Savior of your life? Our confidence is in this, that Jesus is our personal Savior and Lord. Number two, God wants us to know that all of our sins are forgiven. God wants you to know this. Look at 1 John. You're still in 1 John. Go back a few pages to 1 John chapter 2. And look with me at verses 1 and 2. Of 1 John 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, and do we sin? Yes, indeed we do. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation, that is, the redemptor of our sins. For our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the whole world. God wants you to know that all your sins are forgiven. We have a sin problem. And as a result of our sin problem, all of us, we live in guilt. And because of sin, there is shame and the regrets of our lives. And we live under this condemnation. Now, the world will tell you the opposite of this. We're about to have a biblical worldview conference. We teach a biblical worldview here at Prestonwood. And the biblical worldview is upside down to the world's view, to the secular world view. I mean, the secular worldview is that you're a product of evolution. The biblical worldview is that God created you. The biblical worldview, the world's view, the secular worldview is that you are inherently good. And if you're good enough, if there is a heaven, you'll go there. But that mankind, people, humankind are basically inwardly good. That's upside down to what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are instinctively, inherently bad, that we are born in our sin and our transgression, and therefore we need a Savior. Turns it right upside down. And so we live under this condemnation. And so many people live with the uncertainty of knowing if God has forgiven them. Even people who have been in the church or around the church, or maybe even you're a baptized believer, but you don't have assurance in your life because you're wondering, how could God forgive me? How is it possible for God to forgive? I can barely forgive myself, which doesn't do any good anyway. You know, the world says, forgive yourself. Well, good luck with that, because that's not going to do any good, to forgive yourself. You need the forgiveness of God. And yet people think, well, God could never forgive me. God could never overlook my sin. Well, the fact is that God doesn't overlook our sin. He sees our sin. But he sent Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the sin debt so that we could be forgiven. And his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from every sin. And therefore, because we have been fully and forever forgiven, we can live life without regrets, and we can live life with confidence, looking at our future, knowing that Jesus has said, as he said to the lame man in Mark's gospel, your sins are forgiven. Rise up and walk. He said to the woman taken in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You are forgiven in Christ. This means your past is blotted out. It is deleted. It means that your present, the sins of your present can be covered, is covered by and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So many people think, well, what happens when I sin? What happens when I commit sins as a Christian? Do I have to go back to go? I mean, it's like being in one of those board games and you have to go back to start and get saved all over again. No, because every sin that you've committed was in the future when Christ died for you, right? All your sins were in the future. So whether your sins are past or present or future, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. And all of our sins are therefore cleansed. Look at Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, key verses in the Bible. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God is saying, I've got you covered completely and totally. So when people say something like, well, you can be saved, but then you could sin to the degree that you could lose your salvation. You know, there are people who teach that you can somehow lose your salvation, that you could forfeit your eternal life, that you could turn away and be lost again. The Bible teaches us that once you are saved, you are always saved. You say, I know, that's that old Baptist thing. No, it's the Bible thing. And here's why it's the Bible thing. Because every sin that we have committed is covered by the blood of Christ as we have trusted him. Listen to me. I always want to ask people, okay, if you can sin away your salvation, how much sin does it take to sin away your salvation? Amen. And how bad does it have to be? Right? I mean, is it one sin? Is it 10 sins? 100 sins? 500 sins? How many sins do you have to sin to lose your salvation? Or what kind of sin? Is it the real biggies, the big ones? You have to do one of the big sins and you could lose your salvation. And, you know, the little ones like gossiping and those kind of things, you know, God will overlook that. No, if there was one cent of a scintilla of sin held to my account or your account, we would be on a slide to hell. A water slide to hell. Because if there is any sin that we have committed that is not covered, you see, you got to understand the holiness of God. God is of pure eyes and to behold iniquity. If there's any sin against me, then I'm lost forever. But Christ took my sin. When Jesus went to the cross, he carried your sin and my sin with him. And therefore, we are saved and secure because of what Christ has done. You know, the way you stay saved is the way you are saved. If you think that you are saved in any way by doing good works or doing good deeds or being religiously involved in some way, then you'll always wonder, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? Am I being good enough? Am I righteous enough? If you think it's by good deeds in any way that you are saved, you will never live in the confidence and assurance because you'll never know. But what we do is we live in the confidence of what Jesus has done for us, and therefore it is grace. So the same grace that saves us and forgives us takes away our sin, and we live in this grace every day. And that's why we know and can say, I know that we are saved, because we are trusting in Christ alone. We have his pardon and his promise that he would take our sins and remember them no more. This is what you can know. This is bread and butter, meat and potatoes Christianity. Kind of what you get here at Prestonwood. You don't get that French food. Stuff you can't pronounce. That's at those churches that are flying the pride flag. You can get all that over there. But you're going to get the Word of God here. And what the Bible says is that it is in Christ and Christ alone that we are saved, and therefore we trust in him and him alone. That's why we can say it is well with my soul. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. This is what we know. So what we know is that Jesus is our Lord and Savior because we have trusted in Him and Him only. What we know is that all of our sins are forgiven, and therefore what we know is that we have passed from death unto life. That's the third thing I want you to see. He wants you to know that you have passed from death unto life. That's 1 John 5, 11 and 12. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. In fact, all of 1 John is an incredible manual for Christians of all stripes, whether you're a new Christian or a longtime follower of Jesus. But we often say to new Christians for assurance to read 1 John, because 27 times he mentions the word know, or a derivative of the word know is to know, to know, to know, to know, to know. Here's how you know. Here's how you know that you're saved. That's first the book of 1 John. So 1 John 5 and 11 and 12 says this, and this is the testimony that He has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And that's when he says, these things are written. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God. So we know that we have passed from death to life, from temporal life to eternal life. Now, heads up on this one. Eternal life and heaven are not the same. They're not synonymous. Heaven is the byproduct of eternal life. Heaven is the byproduct, the future that we have because we have been given eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ. We have the Son, Jesus. We were born dead in our trespasses or sin. We were the walking dead. But because Christ said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, we now, having received Christ, have received His life in us. Christ is alive in us, and we have eternal life. Listen to John chapter 10, verses 27 and 29. This is why you need your Bibles when you come. But here it is, John 10, 27 and 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. The devil can't snatch you out of the Father's hand. Don't you know if he could, he would? Jesus said, I give you eternal life. I've said it many times here. You know, how long is eternal life? Well, it's eternal. It's forever. But it's more than just living a long time. It's the life of God in you. It's the life of Christ. You see, we were devoid of life. We were empty of God. That's what it means to be life, lost. But when Christ comes to live in us, we have passed from death to life. I am alive, alive, alive in Christ. I've passed from the old life, and I'm living a brand new life because of Jesus Himself. And so eternal life is what He gives us right now. In John 17 and verse 3, this is what Jesus said. Let's put it up on the screen just so everyone can see it. And this is eternal life. Okay, you want to know what eternal life is based on what Jesus said? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. All right? Eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. You receive eternal life the moment the miracle takes place when you pass from death to life. Eternal life means here and now. You say, well, I'm going to wait to heaven to find out if I have eternal life. That's too late. It's too late. Here and now is when you put your faith and trust in Christ and you're given this eternal life in Christ. And it's not 10 years and live it and then lose it. 50 years and live it and lose it. I mean, that would be 10-year life, 50-year life, not eternal life. We have eternal life. Next, what does God want us to know? Here's what we know. God wants us to know His perfect plan for our lives. God wants us to know His perfect plans for our lives. God does have a plan, and God has a purpose for us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called; whom he called, he justified; whom he justified, these he glorified." It is a done deal, accomplished, tetelestai, finished. What Christ has done for us means that he has a plan, and his plan is working progressively, perfectly in our lives, that he's constructing us, and we're just getting started when we come to Christ, and he's building us up and making us more and more like Christ. And therefore, what we know is that everything that's happening in our lives, both good and bad, God is good, and God does good, and God is working all things together for the good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Listen to me. God has a perfect plan, a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. You're not an accident. You're not here by chance or circumstance. God formed you in your mother's womb, and with that plan comes God's progressive work, his will in your life. And so the only thing we need to do is to make sure we're getting ourselves aligned in God's will. We're going to be talking about discovering God's will as we go through this series and how to do that. But basically, you just get yourself aligned in obedience to God's word and do God's will in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you are aligned in this way, life works, because God works in response to our obedience to him. And God works even when we are disobedient to him. He turns things around and enables us to get back on track. So I'm saying all this to tell you that the world is going nowhere. When Simon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and he said, "Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation." The word untoward means a generation that's going nowhere. If you don't know Christ, you don't have a clue about where your life is going. I mean, you're just left to good luck. And good luck with good luck. If you don't know Christ in your life, you don't really have a purpose. You may have your plans and ideas, but what happens when life falls apart? And it inevitably does. Then what? When your plans fail, or luck turns the wrong way. No, we don't live by luck. Amen. The Lord directs our steps. The Lord has a plan. The Lord has a purpose for our lives. And so we live in confidence of this. Now, do you see what a difference this makes in the way you live? If you get up every single day knowing I am saved, I know that my sins are forgiven, I've passed from death into life, and I am fulfilling God's plan and God's purpose for my life every single day, do you see what incredible confidence and certainty that brings to your life? Amen. That you are saved, certain, and secure. And I just want to urge you, by all means, to remember Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will perfect it, perform it, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God began the work in you, and what God starts, he finishes. He's not finished with you, he's finishing you, and what he starts, he finishes in your life. So don't live wondering what to do next. Live with the confidence that in God's word, he has given you a playbook. He's given you a manual for life, a guidebook for life, and you can live your life according to God's word. Here's what we know. We know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that all of our sins are forgiven. Therefore, we are saved forever, eternally secure in Christ. Here's what we know. We know that we have passed from death to life. We were lost and headed for judgment in hell. We repented. We received Christ. Now we're on our way to heaven. And we know that God has a plan and God has a purpose in our lives. And one more thing. We know that because Jesus is Lord, that everything that is happening in our world is under his control. And so we don't live in fear and uncertainty about the future. We don't live with angst and anxiety about what's going to happen next. Our eyes are on the Lord, the one who has come and who's coming again in great power and great glory and in great victory. Here's what we know. It's what Jude, the little brother of Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, his big brother was Jesus. That's a tough act to follow. But Jude became a follower of Jesus. And he gave us a little letter. It's one of the most powerful. And really for the church that is so woke and so weak in this generation needs the book of Jude now more than ever perhaps. But after all the contending for the faith that is in and the confrontation of wokeness and evil and all the rest in the book of Jude, Jude 24 and 25 is a doxology that closes, and therefore I'm going to close the message with it. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. I'm going to ask our praise and worship team to come up here and join me because we're about to praise God with all of our hearts. But listen to me as I remind you what this is telling us. Now to him who is able, I'm not able to save myself, but he is able to save to the uttermost and to keep me from stumbling. Do we misstep? Do we stumble at times? Some of you had a stumble or two this past week. Maybe you had a really bad week. But when we stumble, he keeps us from falling. Psalm 37, 23 and 24 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his strong right hand. You see, salvation is not a matter of me holding on to God, trying to hold on to the end. He's holding on to me. He's holding on to you. And he's never going to let go. You're in the Father's hand. Peter said, we are kept by the power of God. We are in God's grip from time to eternity. Now to him to present you, watch this, faultless, blameless. As the hymn writer put it, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. We stand in the righteousness, pure and perfect, and he is able to keep us, bring us into his presence with glory, with what? Exceeding joy. Joy, 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 and more joy. Can you imagine the joy of being with Jesus, of seeing Jesus? Let me tell you something. I'm more excited today about Jesus than anything in my life. I mean, more than politics, more than the next election, more than sports, more than entertainment, more than power, more than fame, more than anything in this world. I am excited about seeing Christ, and Christ is coming, and he's coming soon, and we're going to be with him in exceeding joy. To God our Savior, that's Jesus, who alone is wise. There's no one like him. There's no one above him. There's no one alongside of him. There's no one next to him. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. To him be glory and majesty and power and victory and authority. You don't think there is confidence in living like this? There is confidence and hope in Christ now and forever. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing it.
What a powerful name.
Now, here's what we're going to do. I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. To come forward today, upstairs and downstairs and online. If you're watching, 74788, Jesus is the text number. Our men are right here to respond, to receive you, to answer your questions. But if you want to know that you're saved, do you know it? And do you know why? You're not trusting in you, the best of you, the worst of you. You want to put your faith and trust in Jesus. I wouldn't trust the best 30 seconds I ever lived to get me to heaven. Amen. You're not saved by doing good works. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and come today. Don't wait. You can settle this forever and ever and ever. You can walk out of darkness into light. You can pass from death to light. You can be saved forever today. You can receive eternal life. I'm going to ask you to come and make that decision public and to do it right now. There are others you believe you want to belong to this church. We welcome you to Prestonwood. Why don't you step forward, lead the way, set the example for others who will follow you to Jesus and join this church. If you want to be a part of worship like this, of teaching of God's word as we teach it, if you want to be a part of a fellowship that is going somewhere sharing Jesus, then come and get in this church and get involved. We're going to keep singing it. We're going to wait for you to come right now.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.